You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, we've been in number one of the Triple Dipper for a little bit here, calling it Mad Maps. Because, man, we got some mad maps going on. We don't just have one. Now we've got the special master drawing up three versions of how Alabama's congressional districts might look, and it has implications that run nationwide. It has implications that run towards the possibility of the control of Congress. It's just, to me, I just find it odd that we've been told since the 60s, stop gerrymandering on race, and then they came back and gerrymandered on race. Anyway, somebody who lives in one of those districts that's now been completely redrawn is my friend and former colleague, former state senator Dick Brubaker. Dick served in the House for that area quite a bit. He was a education advisor to Governor Fob James, and he's also served in the Alabama State Senate, and he's on the line right now. Dick Brubaker, how you doing, man?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for letting me be on your show.
Yeah, man, thanks for making time. And this will be an odd one. You guys have known your district lines for a bit. I mean, they draw a little bit different each time, but not much. Total redo right now, and you're looking at having an open seat in your area. What are your thoughts on the way all this broke out?
Well, I think what you just said and what Congressman Adderholt said earlier is exactly right. The Supreme Court, the courts are talking out of both sides of their mouth. On the one hand, they say you can't use race as the determining factor when you draw these districts. And now, apparently, they're saying you must use race. Let's face it. What's going on here is not just in Alabama. There are several lawsuits, very similar lawsuits in other states. And if they're going to use this Alabama decision as the precedent, as the blueprint for how the courts are going to act, the Democrats are going to use redistricting to take the House back.
Well, I agree, and I think that's exactly where we're headed here. On the one hand, I find it insulting that they would insinuate that black voters only vote in a block because it leaves out the idea that they might have other notions about their vote. But at the same time, we all know that currently the majority of the black vote typically votes Democrat. But I tell you what, Dick, in the middle of this, when the special master Richard Allen, you and I both know Richard Allen.
Yeah.
Richard Allen submitted three maps, which, by the way, I didn't know he was going to submit three. I thought he was going to draw one, and he came back with three. All three of them, though, he ran what he called performance evaluations on them, and he told the court, and guess what? The black preferred candidate wins in the majority of, which meant that he literally ran it not just on them having an opportunity. He ran it to make sure they win. That's galling to me.
They're not even pretending that they didn't. They drew these districts to elect Democrats. They're being very, I will give Richard credit for being upfront and honest about what he was doing. They weren't trying to draw fair districts or communities of interest or whatever you want to call it. What they were trying to do is draw a district that a Republican couldn't win.
Well, I do, though, think, though, that the district you're in that a Republican can win.
I agree with you, and there's a very good possibility that I'm going to try to be that Republican.
Well, hang on, that was my next question. So, I mean, I know you've been talking and making the rounds, and I asked you to be on the show without knowing you were making the rounds, but I'm hearing you said on another show that you're going to run. Is that so?
Well, then I'm very seriously considering. There's some information I don't have yet that I need to get. I'm having a very good numbers guy look deep into it to make sure it's as winnable as I think it is. What they're doing is they're taking a district that's always been oriented toward the wiregrass, that agricultural and military-based dependent area of the state, an area of the state that needs strong representation for Alabama to, Fort Rucker and all of that. I mean, it's important. And now what they've done is, no matter who ends up representing it, It's going to be a Montgomery. It's going to be a Montgomery-leaning district. I mean, what happens in the second congressional district is going to be decided by the voters in Montgomery County. And you know, rural Alabama is already underrepresented.
Yeah.
And so now they're going to be even more underrepresented, no matter who wins.
Well, I agree. I think that I think it's definitely pulling away from the idea of a rural area having some sway over their own district. What's interesting though is geographically, much of what will be your new congressional district too is rural and small town. But you're right; the population bulk of the vote is going to come out of Montgomery.
Well, you know, Elmore and Autauga counties are both out, and Enterprise is out, which was the sort of where Barry Moore, you know, that was his sort of his base when he represented that district. Now that's not even part of the district. And so Montgomery is the only large urban center in the whole district. And again, it cuts straight across the state from east to west. And I think a Republican can win it, provided I hope Republicans that and conservatives in general will listen up. We have got to not congratulate ourselves when we voted 48%.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to have any say in the destiny of what happens, we're going to have to start turning out at 60 and 70%. Because, you know, it's, you know, the courts are trying to guarantee that, you know, one party has a distinct advantage over the other. And, you know, they've said that's what they're doing, and that's what they've done.
Yeah, that's exactly what they've done. And even more so, you can tell by the fact that they took two income. And granted, I recognize that the population numbers, not demographics, but population numbers are part of what you have to draw your districts based on typically. But it's also kind of been the common courtesy. You don't just draw somebody out of their district. You don't just willy-nilly. I saw that happen one time in the multiple times that you and I had to redraw state lines when I think, what was his name? I just forgot his name. The guy that did get drawn out of his
Mark,
district. It was Mark.
Mark. But
for the most part, that's not a thing.
So that's one guy out of 35. We managed to keep 34 out of 35 in their district.
Well, truly, it was 104 if you get down to it, because we didn't.
Nobody in the house.
140.
House, yeah.
But all that to say, to see that they've drawn two incumbent Republicans into the same district, so now they have to go head-to-head against each other, to me, is another just galling example of the fact that this was not done for any other reason except to sort of fix the race.
Well, you're right. I mean, this was done to elect Democrats. I mean, that was the purpose. But I will say this. Residency is not a requirement for House of Representatives races.
That would be true, so I could run for it.
That's one of the things I've learned. I didn't know that. So Barry Moore, who has been representing District 2, now, of course, they took out his main area of strength, which is that area around Enterprise.
Yeah.
But if he wants to run again in District 2, I mean, there's no legal impediment, except for the fact that he'll be running in a completely different district.
Well, he would. I don't know that he would.
I don't know how practical it would be. But the point is, there was, and I'm not saying politics has always played a part in redistricting, no matter who does it. But when you've got the federal government coming in and saying, we're going to draw districts to elect more Democrats, that's new.
Yeah, that's new, and it's also pretty galling when they say, oh, no, by the way, race has to be more of a factor, and we're going to make sure it is. When they've been telling us for years, stop making it a factor, and we have grown away from that over time.
See, that's the part of this I don't get. I mean, you know, when you all of the talk about that you heard that the original court decision that rejected the district's legislative group was probably not going to stand. Because of what you just said, the courts have always been asserting for the last decade or so that we need to get away from using race as the main factor. And then you've got a special master coming in and saying race is the main factor after all. And so I don't instead of operating under law, under predictable legal principles, now we're just doing it so one party will be favored over the other.
Yep.
And that's not good. But Republicans don't have to sit down for it. I mean, no matter whether it's me or somebody else, whoever the nominee is, y'all go vote for him.
Well, and that's what's going to have to happen. But so let me ask you this, though, Dick, before we run out of time here, about a minute and a half left. Speculation abounds as to who would be the potential Democrat nominee for that particular race. And right now, I would say the lead in terms of discussion points is current liberal mayor of Montgomery, Stephen Reed. Your thoughts on that?
I think it would be hard for someone who's not based in Montgomery to win the race, no matter what party they're in. So I think you're absolutely right. I think Stephen Reed would be the front runner. And, you know, I would be happy to run against him. You know, we both have records. Let's compare them.
Well, I think I certainly know where yours stands. And the thing is, I think I know where his stands. And his is about as liberal as the day is long. And so I would put your efforts for school choice up against his efforts for no school choice any given day.
Well, and if we, you know, in a fair race, I think a Republican can win it. And if the votes are counted and we lose, fine. But I think that the District 2, at least, is winnable for a Republican. And looks like our old buddy Bobby Singleton may run against Terry Sewell.
I saw that.
That also will be interesting.
That will. Terry Sewell may suddenly have some true work ahead of her in a campaign. Well, listen, man, I know where you stand. I know the issues you stand on. And I also know that you've kind of reached a time in your life. You recently retired from your longtime career and had an opportunity to serve the state in a number of ways. There might not be a better time, and open seats don't come along very often. So hope you'll keep us in touch with what you decide.
Oh, you can count on that. Thank you, Phil.
All right. Thank you, Dick Brubaker. We appreciate you. Former state senator Dick Brubaker and a champion for things on the right, and considering a run now for the soon-to-be open seat for the brand spanking new version of Congressional District 2. We'll see how that goes. All right, folks. We're going to take a break. We'll come right back, take some of your text messages, and wrap this thing up, and then we'll move to the next one. I'm calling it Faith. It's a thing. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.